Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 59, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Amy Gabriel of Gabriel's Good Tidings. Amy has been able to provide a substantial amount of her family's income by selling lip balm holders, and the bulk of her sales come from daily deal sites. Amy walks us through that process and how she got started in business. And she was generous enough to provide a coupon code to all Brilliant Business Moms listeners. On her Etsy shop, Gabriel's Good Tidings, you can use the code BrilliantBizMom with a Z, BrilliantBizMom, and save 50%. The code expires at the end of this year, 12/31/2014. Amy has lots of great things to tell us, so let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we're chatting with Amy Gabriel. Amy owns the Etsy shop Gabriel's Good Tidings, where she sells lip balm holders along with some other items to keep you organized. In addition to building a thriving business on the Etsy platform, Amy has become adept at growing her business through large deal sites, particularly Jane.com. Gabriel's Good Tidings is based in Orlando, Florida, where Amy lives with her husband and two children, and she's able to support a large percentage of her family's income through her business. Welcome to the show, Amy. We're so excited to have you.
Thanks so much. I'm excited to be here.
Amy, could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself and your family, and then also about your business and how you got started?
Sure. Well, I'm married. I've been married almost 10 years to my husband. His name is Mallory, and we have two kids. They are 7 years old and 5 years old. So, yeah, we live in sunny Orlando, Florida area, where we don't get cold very often, but it is cold here now, and my children are quite shocked at how cold it feels outside. And I grew up sewing. My grandmother and both of my grandmothers and my mom took a lot of time with me as a teenage adolescent girl to teach me how to sew and taught me a lot of the fundamentals of sewing. I learned the parts of a sewing machine and how to thread a needle in less than 10 seconds and just a lot of sewing basics early on. And so because of that, I always loved to sew. I think every place I lived, even through college and after college, I always had a sewing machine with me. It just kind of carried around with me. And so I would sew curtains and pillows. And I know in one time in high school, I made some costumes for a history project. And I helped my grandmother sew my prom dress when I was a senior in high school. And so sewing's just always been something I've done and always been something I really enjoyed as a hobby and never knew that it could be a business. But in several years ago, in late 2012, my husband wanted to go back to school for a master's degree, and he asked me if I would be willing to work to support him so that he could complete about a 2.5-year program for a degree in mental health. And I agreed to do that because we felt like that would ultimately lead to a better life for our family, and it would give him more job satisfaction, and it was something that had been a dream of his for a long time. So I agreed to work, and I did work outside the home for quite some time, but there came a time when I was just ready to be home. And at the same time, my Etsy shop started growing. I had been on Etsy since 2006, but that was really only by name. I don't even think I had a listing sell until 2008. I really just had shop name because I thought one day I'm going to do this. So in 2012, I got my first taste of what it was like to have a holiday season on Etsy. I was still working outside the home at that time. And in 2013 was when I really felt the need to come home full time. And just really through a lot of soul searching and just exploring and prayer, I felt like God was telling me it was time to come home. But I still had made this promise to my husband to support him through graduate school. And so I thought, well, I'll just try Etsy. And I did, and I started just tweaking things and just doing all the Etsy tips that so many of us have learned over the years, good photography and really descriptive titles and those kind of things. And it worked, and a friend of mine mentioned to me about some daily deal sites and kind of got me connected with there, and that's when it really took off. And I started just understanding more of what it meant to sell wholesale and sell in bulk. So over time, I eventually quit my job outside the home, came home full time, and this has provided for 75% or sometimes more, but at least 75% over the last year and a half for my husband to finish his graduate school, which graduation is in December.
Yay!
Yeah. Yes. That's Yay. So exciting. I love your story. I love that need to help support your family and support your husband's dreams, but growing a business at the same time, it's wonderful. So I know you've worked with many different deal sites over the past year or so, but you've kind of settled on Jane.com as the main one that you like to work with. Can you tell us a little bit more about that process of working with a deal site and maybe what makes one a great fit versus another?
Sure. I really like Jane.com for many reasons. I like the way that their vendor portal is set up. I think that's important when you're considering working with a deal site, is how do you initiate that contact with what they would call a buyer or a deal coordinator. So that is the person that's going to be your first contact when you contact them, and you're going to present your items to them and price points and your quantities and things like that. And so for me, I like that process to be really streamlined and really simple, where I can basically bullet point my items and get some pictures in front of them, and they can say yes or no. And so I feel like of all the deal sites, Jane.com has done that really well. They recently launched a vendor portal, I think is what they call it, or a vendor site, where everything is done through basically the website, where you just submit, and it's just a click and submit, and then you get a reply back. And of course you get email notifications for all that, but it's incredibly streamlined. It wasn't always that way. When I first started, it was a lot of emails back and forth, and we've got you down for this date, and no, this date doesn't work for me. And then they'd plug in another date, but they have really poured a lot of energy into streamlining that and making it incredibly vendor friendly, seller friendly. There's several other sites that I don't feel are as streamlined, but that's important to me, to get good dates on the calendar when I'm booking deals, and to be able to just instantly contact someone without having to email and wait for a response. They have more of, it's kind of more like a chat and comment type system as opposed to emails. And that's what I really, really, truly like about Jane.com. And then the other thing that I would say to really consider is the traffic that sites get. Daily deal sites are popping up a lot of places. And so to me, I want to do something where my product is going to get in front of the most people at one time and just get a bigger return on my investment of the photos I have to take, a bigger return on investment of just the time that I spend fine-tuning that contract and my description and getting that out there. And so when I look at working with a deal site, I look at what is their traffic, what is their social media following, what is their their sell-through rates with their products from their vendors. And so I certainly realize everybody has to start somewhere, and there are small deal sites that are growing, and Jane.com started as a small deal site, at one point in time too. So there's certainly advantages to working with the smaller sites on some occasions. But for me, I've settled on Jane.com because I feel like their following is strong and their application and submission process is really streamlined and clean.
So, Amy, early on, you mentioned that it was a friend who got you turned on to these daily deal sites. But how did those early days of finding these sites work? Was it just a lot of applications, or how did you develop the relationships with these daily deal sites?
You know, it really wasn't a hard process to start. I feel like because my product, the lip balm holders, had not been featured on any deal site before, it was a new item, and daily deal sites were not as big 18 months ago as they are now. So I feel like I definitely had an advantage by being one of the first people on the scene. But that being said, there's still some universal tips and tricks that would still work today. But I feel like thinking, when you submit an item or an idea to a deal site, just remembering that that's going to a real person. It's not going to a computer system. It's going to a real person who is, you know, just another person just like me. And so just trying to be personal with them. So I would email and I would introduce myself and say, my name is Amy and I have an Etsy shop and I enjoy sewing and this is the item I make. My friend told me about you and she sold successfully with you for the last couple of months or years or however long that relationship had been established. And just saying, I would like to feature this item on your site. I think your customers would like it. And then giving them as many details as possible on the front end so that they can make a decision and you don't have to have as much email back and forth or as much commenting back and forth. It's just giving them, I can, you know, offer these at this price point, which is a 25% reduction from retail price or a 50% reduction from retail price, whatever that may be. And then telling them how many you can offer. All the deal sites have different minimum quantities. Jane.com requires a minimum of 50 for handmade items and a minimum of 100 for non-handmade items. So knowing that on the front end and doing your research on the front end so that when you email them, everything in your email fits within their company's policies, so then they can make a good decision if that item's going to be a good fit for their customers. For me, that was a really easy thing. I got a yes right away. I was booked on the calendar within 2 weeks and I started sewing. And so I feel like that was an easy part of getting in. And then once I was in, it was just a matter of rebooking and getting the price point exactly where I needed it to be.
Those are some great tips for anyone who's interested in working with deal sites. So thank you so much for that. And I'm curious too, with Jane.com or other sites, as your business grows and maybe you're able to sell more than that minimum, can you let them know that, hey, I have 400 available this time around, or how does that work?
Oh, absolutely. They've never told me I had too many. I think they have the more the merrier policy on a lot of things. But there is a minimum of 50. My biggest sale ever on Jane.com, I sold 630, and that was last November. And I was just absolutely over the moon excited because I knew what it meant for our family financially at that time. And that was really when my business started taking off. I remember texting my husband and just all caps, literally flipping out, saying, I cannot believe this happened. We just sold out of 630 items and sewing for weeks on end after that. But they are always open to higher quantities. But that being said, start small and get a feel for it and get your feet wet and figure out the shipping and the tracking. And so that can sometimes be overwhelming to us creative minds, the details of the technology of it all. And that was certainly a learning curve for me. So I just tell people always start small. Start with the minimum. You can always rebook and do another deal if you sell out.
So 600, that sounds absolutely incredible. Since you have a kind of a small dollar item, how does the profit margin work out where clearly it must be worth your time and effort to do the deal sites, but you have to offer them a discount, plus you have to make money on the item. So how do you make sure that works out okay, where you're getting enough profit per item?
That's a great question, and that has definitely been part of my process over the last year, 18 months or so, learning how to price it appropriately, both retail, which would mean like in my Etsy shop, and then price it appropriately for a deal site. Part of the big reason I've been able to do this and be so successful with still earning a profit has been that I've been able to buy the supplies at wholesale cost. And so because I sell 600 or 400 or 500, several hundred at a time, I'm able to purchase supplies by the thousands. Because I know that if I purchase 2,000 of one item, I can make that stretch for a couple of months. And by buying the supplies in bulk at a wholesale cost, that lowers my investment in each item and therefore makes the margin of profit a bit higher.
And then just practically speaking, sewing 600 at a time sounds extremely overwhelming to me. How do you physically manage to produce that much bulk in such a short period of time? That is astounding.
Well, with Jane.com, you do have 14 days from the day your deal ends to ship the item. I usually take that full 14 days to fulfill that. But physically, I do a lot of things. I have a lot of tricks. I divide them up by color of thread that they need to be sewn with. And I will set personal goals for myself. So I'll say, today I'm going to sew all of the hot pink thread. And so that may be 3 or 4 different patterns of lip balm holders, but they all get sewn with the same color thread. And so I'll say, I'm going to sew all the hot pinks, and I'll lay them all out on my sewing table, and I will just make it a game with myself. And I'll say, okay, I'm going to sew 2 hot pink chevron and then 1 polka dot, and 2 chevron and 1 polka dot. And I just keep this routine. And to be honest with you, I'm usually listening to a podcast while I'm sewing, and that keeps my brain thinking. And
love it.
And it just, sewing becomes very monotonous and very mindless for me in those marathon sewing times. And so I usually have something to distract my brain, whether it be music or a podcast or an audiobook. And then I have some kind of a method where I'm constantly mixing it up. I don't like sewing 100 of one pattern all in the same time. I like to have goals. And so I'll even sometimes set the timer on my phone, and I'll say, okay, I'm going to sew for 30 minutes, and I'm not going to look at my phone until it beeps, because I will get lost in all the notifications and the text and the other stuff that's beeping over there. And I will say, I'm not going to look at it unless someone calls me and I know it's a family member that needs me or my child's school. Then I'm not going to go look at my phone for 30 minutes, and I'm going to see how many I can do. And I'll set myself a goal. I'll say, I'm going to see if I can sew 30 in the next 30 minutes. I'm going to see if I can sew 45 in the next 30 minutes. And so these little, small, attainable goals, they're silly, kind of, but they just keep me going. And they mix it up enough to where I feel like it's fun and it's not hard. It's not hard sewing. It's not like I'm sewing a wedding dress or a prom dress or even any kind of dress. I'm sewing simple, straight lines on items. And it can get boring, but I think for me, just mixing it up and having distractions like music or a timer that I'm working against helps me to just keep it fun.
I love those tips. That's great. And I wouldn't have even thought about the fact that even when you're working on a physical product, you could still be distracted by all the things on your phone or your computer. You know, we think about that in terms of blogging, that, oh, you know, close out of your email, close out of social media. But that's true too. You could come up with a reason why, okay, let me just stop my sewing for a second and hop on Facebook or whatever.
That's so true. And so many times I'll say, I'm just going to check my phone for 1 minute. And before you know it, 5-10 minutes has passed, and I look down and I haven't sewn anything. And so then at that point, I usually get up and take my phone across the room and put it on what is my cutting table where I cut my materials. And I put that over on my cutting table, turn on some music, set the timer, and say, I'm not getting up and looking at it until that timer goes off. And as wonderful as smartphones are, and as much as it has helped me in my business, it's still a pretty big distraction when I get down to admit it.
And I'm curious, what is your record for how many lip balm holders you can sew in, say, a 30-minute time period?
If everything goes right with the sewing machine, not necessarily with my phone, but with the sewing machine, and, you know, I don't break a needle or the bobbin doesn't come unwound or any number of problems that can happen on sewing, I think my record is about 40. I think I can sew 40 in 30 minutes. And so when I have a massive order, like 600, I will not price that out, but I'll calculate that out as to how many hours is this going to take me. And sometimes I calculate it down. If this is going to take me 8 hours of sewing, then I need to get it done in the next week, then I need to sew at least 1 hour every day, really more than that, because there's only 7 days in a week, and I'd like to have a day off. So maybe I could sew an hour and a half each day, and then I would be done by this day. And so a lot of times I just break up things into very small attainable goals. And I know that Crystal Payne of Money Saving Mom, she talks about when you have financial goals you want to meet, you break them down. If you want to save $1,000 this year, what does that look like on a monthly basis? What does that look like on a weekly basis for your family? And I kind of take that and just tweak it to my projects. And so if I have 600 to sew in the next 7 days, how many do I have to sew every day? How many hours is that going to take me? And so how many hours do I need to devote to sitting at the sewing machine over this amount of time? And that keeps me from having to sit at the sewing machine for 9 hours at one day, which is not fun.
I like that system because I'm sure it could seem overwhelming if you think about 600. That might seem almost impossible to accomplish. But if you break it down into smaller chunks, then it seems doable. So I like that system.
I do have a lot of help. When this took off, my husband, both of us were just shocked. First of all, we're still shocked that this is how we pay our bills. But we are also overwhelmingly grateful that this is how we pay our bills. And so he really stepped up to the plate, and he helps me so much. He has not yet learned to sew. I keep trying to twist his arm and teach him, but that hasn't happened quite yet. And I don't think it will with a pending graduation on the horizon for him. But he does almost everything else. He knows how to ship items. He knows how to cut materials. He knows how to pin things together in the way that it's supposed to be assembled. He just knows, and he blesses me so much because he will be gone all day working at an unpaid internship and go to class at night and then come home, and I'll have a basket full of lip balm holders on the coffee table, and he'll just sit down and watch TV and just sit there and talk with me, and we work on them together and finish them off. And that has enabled me so much to do the volume that I do. Is even though I do sew every one, there's so much more of the process that's outside of the sewing machine that he has an integral part in, and I couldn't do nearly the volume that I do without him.
That's really sweet. I can just picture you guys sitting on the couch working together at night. Honestly, we hear so many times that these businesses that these women have created wouldn't be nearly as possible without the help of their spouse. So that's really, it's really special how involved the husbands get on these businesses. Mm-hmm. I was curious, too, since you mentioned earlier that you've been sewing since you were a child, and so clearly you're adept at that. So what made you zero in on lip balm holders? There are, you know, a plethora of things that you could sew. What made you pick that niche for your product?
Well, the reason I picked the lip balm holders for the Daily Deal sites was because I knew it was a product I could create quickly, and it was a simple product to sew. It was something that I could always offer a new twist on. So I could always say, we've got a new pattern out, this new neon chevron you've never seen before, or this color polka dot is now available. And so I feel like because I have over 200 different types of patterns, I can always cater to someone. Someone is always looking for a certain type of pattern. And that's one reason I felt like it would do well, is because I could continually change it up. And another reason is just that I knew I could produce it quickly. It is not incredibly time consuming to sew. It does get time consuming when you multiply it times the hundreds, but on an individual basis, it comes together pretty quickly. And so for me, that was important, something that I could mass produce in bulk and not have to spend so much time on each individual product, but rather just the process of how it goes more through like an assembly line type fashion.
That makes sense.
I had looked at your Etsy shop, but I guess it hadn't registered that you do make other things as well.
I would say 90% of my sales are of the lip balm holders. And truly the other items are, I mean, to be completely honest, they are items that I just sometimes get really sick of sewing lip balm holders, and I get sick of looking at them. And so I think I'm going to sew something new, and I'll go on a little tangent and spend a week sewing something new, and then I'll go back to lip balm holders. And, you know, you just, when your hobby becomes a business, you have to either, number one, find a new hobby, which I have yet to do, or number two, find a way to just make it fun again. And so that's kind of how I just make it fun again, is I say, oh, well, I need a break from lip balm holders. I'm going to make a new product. And so that's why you might see a few random things in my Etsy shop. Those were my break weeks where I needed a break.
So, Amy, I'm curious. I know we've talked about the deal sites a lot, but one thing I'm curious to compare is, you know, for example, with a wholesale order, typically you are selling your items to that store, that retailer, at 50% of your retail price. And so generally, if your profit margin would be like 75%, then you're then taking like a 25% profit on that particular item. With a deal site, is it similar? Are you taking home about 25% of the retail price as profit? Or like, what does the margin actually look like there?
You know, I honestly have not broken it down to percentage. I just know what I net profit. I know what I need as far as what I have invested in the product. And then I know what I net profit on them. And so I kind of just have a threshold that says I'm not going to make below X amount. And so therefore I price it accordingly on Jane.com and then on my Etsy shop to get that amount. Jane.com takes 25% of all the sales. So that's a good bit higher than Etsy, but the advantage is that you get in front of thousands of people, if not millions of people. I'm not exactly sure what their following is now, but you get in front of a lot more people than you would on Etsy on any given day. Now, Jane.com is, and most other deal sites run for a 72-hour period. So while on Etsy, your listing is up, I think it's 4 months now for Etsy listings that you have before you have to pay that 20 cents renewal. With Jane.com, you've got 72 hours to sell these. And so they play a lot on the urgency factor with their customers, is you've got to buy this in the next 72 hours or it's going to be gone. And they don't ever guarantee that it will come back on their site. It might not, but they don't know that. But as far as for me, for profit, I just always price accordingly to know what I need to make. And sometimes, I was telling my husband the other day, I said, I feel like my Etsy store is like a continual drip, like a slow, steady rain. You know, there's a few sales that come in here and there, and then maybe 1 week I have a bunch of sales, and then the next week is slow. It's just like this pretty steady, light rain. And then I feel like when I go on Jane.com, you know, for the 72 hours and I sell 400 or 600 or however many, I feel like that is a torrential downpour. And then we go back to the slow, steady rain. And, you know, I kind of prefer the torrential downpour nowadays. It's just what I've learned and how our family has learned to adjust. But it's just my preference. And I like the fact of knowing that I just sold 600 or, you know, however many I sold. And I'm going to get them done. I'm going to get them shipped out, and I'm going to get paid for them. And I like that, and completing that job and completing that full large task, rather than, oh no, my phone just cha-chinged again, and it cha-chinged again, and I've got to go do that. And to me, that's more of a continual to-do list, my Etsy shop is, whereas Jane.com for me is just something that I know it's coming. This storm is coming, and we will get through it. And then when it's over, the rainbow will come out and we'll get our money and we're done. But that's just me. So I know everybody has different personality, and I like just having it all done in one place. And so for me, it is worth it to take a little bit less because of the volume that I will sell. And so I also look at that as far as I will sell so much more. It's worth it to me to take a little bit less than I would make on Etsy because the volume will compensate for it.
That makes a lot of sense for sure. And I think you're right too, that predictability is so nice. I mean, you know, anytime your product goes on Jane.com that you'll get, you know, X minimum number of sales. And so it is something that you can count on. So that's great.
Right. Sales do fluctuate quite a bit there. I mean, of course, there is a holiday rush and holiday season. So the times I have sold 500 or more have been closer to the holidays. But even in January, February, I would still sell 100 or more at a time. And so that's 100 seems like a walk in the park nowadays. But it is really nice to know that I will most likely sell at least 100 every time.
So the way you're talking, it sounds like you don't actually keep an inventory of already made lip balm holders on hand. Everything is kind of a make as it's sold process.
That's right. I used to pre-make everything before my deal would go live on Jane.com or before I would even put the listing in my Etsy shop. I used to have everything made because I wanted to be that overprepared girl that could ship the same day. And as my volume grew and my business grew, I just realized that wasn't really possible anymore. And if I wanted to keep up with the demand, I needed to just be willing to make it after it sold. Jane's policy is that you have all the items on hand in your possession before your deal goes live. So that being said, I do keep a lot of inventory on hand, but it's not necessarily sewn. It may be somewhere in the process of being sewn, or it may be cut but not pinned, or pinned but not sewn. But it's most of the time when I have a deal that goes live on Jane.com, I may have about 10% pre-sewn, and then everything is on the back end.
So since being on Jane.com and some large deal sites, I know you've had some wholesale orders come about as a result. Do you have any tips on working with wholesale or how to acquire those orders?
Yeah, I have been really privileged to work with a couple of different wholesale companies. So some of those are stores who've wanted to carry my product in their stores. And then a couple of them are the subscription boxes, the monthly subscription boxes that are also really popular now that have placed my items in their monthly boxes. And as far as tips, I would just say just networking is really important in everything, in any kind of business. And so one of the best things I ever did was I reached out to several other sellers that were also selling on Jane and just got in touch with them and just became friends with them. And because of modern technology, we can do that now. And just kind of said, hey, what do you use to ship your products? What system do you use? And where do you buy your shipping labels? What kind of label printer do you have? And where do you buy your mailing bags? And, you know, things like that have been a huge, huge asset for me. And those girls are so sweet, and they've just become really good friends of mine. And we're just kind of all in the thick of it together. And we rejoice when someone sells out on Jane.com. And we really hurt when somebody has a deal that really bombs. And that's just hard. But that being said, I've just networked with them. And they've said, hey, I heard about this subscription box is starting up and they're looking for small businesses or Etsy shops who are willing to do 100 items and sell them to them, you know, for a little above cost in exchange for advertising. And so those kind of things, networking, I would say those girls have really helped me a lot just to connect with businesses. And then just not being afraid to write an email and send it and be really personable and just realize that that's a real person too who's trying to make their business successful, and offering them a solid product at a good price, at a price that's going to make you money but also going to help their business and help grow their business. And just not being afraid to promote yourself and your product and being confident in who you are and being confident in your price and being confident in the amount that you can produce, being realistic but being confident too. And I think sometimes you just have to think outside the box as far as the subscription box thing. That was something I'd never thought of until a friend of mine did it and said, you should try this. Your lip balm holders are a great item for a subscription box company. And so I did, and I got two really big wholesale orders out of that. And that was fantastic and a huge blessing to our family in one of our slower months.
That's really interesting. So do you see the main benefit of participating in subscription box services as being more for advertising to get your product in front of more eyes and maybe influential bloggers or other businesses? Or is there a benefit in terms of actually making money off of selling your products that way?
When I did my research, I found a wide variety of subscription boxes that offered different types of compensation to small businesses such as mine. The two that I worked with paid a wholesale price for the items. And I chose to do that because honestly, our family needed the money and the need for our money was greater than my need for advertising. And I was able to produce the volume that companies needed without proper wholesale compensation. So I chose to only work with two subscription box companies that paid me a wholesale price for several hundred lip balm holders. That being said, in the future, once my husband graduates and the income demands on my business are not as great, I am definitely looking into working with other subscription boxes that do more in exchange for advertising, because I do think that that is just as effective. It just depends on your family's needs at the time. And for us, at the time that I was working with the two subscription boxes, we needed the cash money more than I needed the advertising. So that's why I chose to go with them.
Not on this episode, but just personally, you had mentioned that you had done a giveaway on Money Saving Mom and turned that into some signups for your email newsletter. Could you explain how you structured that giveaway so that it would benefit you in the long term?
Sure, I'd love to. I did do a giveaway on Money Saving Mom back in August of this year. And what I did was I offered a coupon code that was basically good for 7 days. I think it was 5 to 7 days. And offered a percentage off in my Etsy shop for 5 to 7 days. But in the text of her blog post, I had them include, if you're not ready to shop now, you can sign up for Amy's newsletter and you'll be emailed a coupon for $5 off a $10 purchase or more. It was the same percentage off because my coupon code for the Money Saving Mom giveaway was 50% off and my coupon code for my email subscribers is $5 off a $10 or more. So it works out to be about 50% either way you take it. But I was able to capture so many of those email addresses because people wanted a coupon code to hold on to for later. I use MailChimp for my email newsletters and I absolutely love it. It's very user-friendly and it works really well for me and my business. And so I have the autoresponder or the welcome email. Once people confirm their email address, they receive a welcome email. And in that welcome email is the coupon code for $5 off.
That is really smart. I love how you encourage people to head over to your shop right away and buy from you through that giveaway. But then you also were able to hold on to some longer term customers who weren't ready to buy at the moment. That is a genius strategy.
So you have all of these email addresses and then you're a product-based business. So how do you use those email addresses to keep the sales flowing? What do you include in like a newsletter that you send out?
In my newsletters, which I try to send monthly, I'm not always on that, but I try to send those monthly. And I really try to showcase any new products I have, particularly any new patterns or designs of the lip balm holders. For example, last November, I launched the glitter version of lip balm holders. And so I did a big email blast with the glitter pictures and just showing all the different colors of glitter I had, which that was really fun. So I usually try to highlight a new product, or I try to talk about one that I'm expiring or discontinuing. Perhaps it's one that I bought a lot of a supply at a wholesale cost and it didn't sell as well as I thought it would, or for a number of reasons, maybe the supplier is discontinuing the production of that material. And so I'm trying to clearance that out. And really, I'm thinking about my Etsy shop as a whole. And so as Etsy shop owners, when people come to our shop's homepage, I want all of the listings to look cohesive and to look, I want them to be stunning. I want it to look like a magazine page, and that's all of our goals. But so sometimes there's one or two that I may have just one item left of, or one or two items left of this, and I really just want to free up that listing space. And so I'll clearance those out and announce that in my email newsletter, and that usually prompts someone to buy. And then I usually try to share something personal, because I don't like a lot of sales pitches either in my email inbox. So I usually, you know, I did a big countdown to my husband's graduation. So I did a 6 month and a 5 month and a 4 month, and just kind of having the people, having my customers journey with us in this life that we're doing here. And it's such a unique story how I came out of working full-time and came home full-time, but still was able to support him through graduate school. I find that so many people, maybe they've never bought from me, but they've signed up for my emails because they like our story and they like our journey. And maybe they want to see what's going to happen after he graduates, or what I'm going to do with the shop after he graduates. And so I try to always share something personal, or just kind of say, here's where we're at. We're close to graduation, but we're not there yet. Or, you know, kind of just give them an update on life in general.
That makes perfect sense, to showcase your new products, your discontinued products, but also share about your life and, you know, let your customers get to know you better. That's great. Amy, do you have some great business advice or your favorite business books that you reference?
Well, my favorite business book is The Purple Cow by Seth Godin, which I read it, and I think the week after you did a podcast on your review of the book. And it was just so eye-opening for me to hear you guys do your podcast on it that I went back and read the book again. I love his concept of standing out among the crowd and being that purple cow that people just look at and their jaw drops. Not to bring anything on me or anything that I've done, but just to give people more than they expect, to wow them every time, to keep them coming back. And I'm a really big fan of Rebecca Smith of Better Life Bags, and just love her business model and love her heart for people. And so I listened to her talk a few weeks ago, and she said something that has just resonated with me so much. But she said, we do not have to be nonprofits to make a difference in this world. We can be a for-profit business that does things differently. And that's just really become something that I've owned in the last couple of weeks, is I want to be a for-profit business because I do have a family to feed and a house to pay for, but I want to do things differently. And so what that looks like for me is just helping people realize that when you purchase from me, you're helping to put food on our table, and you're helping to get my kids a Christmas present. You're helping to let my husband open up his schedule so he can finish school and so he can have a career that he wants, so he can finish, his education. And so when you purchase from me, I personally want, if I could write every single person a personal thank you note, I would, because I want people to know how incredibly grateful I am for every Etsy order, for every Jane sale. Because ultimately, that is how our family has survived my husband going to graduate school. That's how we have not gotten homeless and not lost everything we owned or anything like that. But that is how we have met our family's needs, is through customers. And I think that when they feel appreciated, and that's what Seth Godin talks about in The Purple Cow, is when you appreciate your customers, they will come back. And when you show them that you do things differently, they will come back.
That is a fantastic business mantra. I love that, because it's true. Beth Ann and I have different reasons for why we want to have a successful home-based business. I mean, similar, but, you know, different circumstances. Profit is certainly a motivating factor, but that doesn't mean just because we're earning a profit that we can't give back in other ways or be generous with our finances. So I love that business mantra. I think we'll take that on for sure. What do you think, Beth Ann?
Yes, that sounds great. Be a for-profit business that does things differently. That's perfect.
Right. Yeah.
Throughout this whole interview, I've been really curious, Amy. You've managed to do so much with your business. But how many hours a week do you need to put into your business to keep up this sort of volume and to provide for your family?
It definitely fluctuates. it is, like I mentioned earlier, sometimes a torrential downpour. And we just, I've just made a habit of trying to give my children and my husband too a heads up of sometimes on Monday I'll say, this is what's going on this week. On Thursday we're on Jane.com and I've got a giveaway going on a big blog this weekend. And so this is kind of what you can expect. It varies every week. There's some weeks where I don't feel like I work at all. There's sometimes I look at my sewing machine and I think, I haven't sat down to sew in 3 days. What am I doing? And then there's some weekends where I tell my husband, I need to sew this weekend. And so I may spend all day Saturday sewing and he takes the kids for the day. It definitely varies. I would say I always work at least 10 hours a week. Sometimes it's closer to 40 and sometimes it's, you know, more on the 10 to 15 hours. But it's definitely based on the volume of sales. And I really try to look at it as if I have 600 sales, that is a huge blessing to our family, and just be more grateful than I am burdened. And so while sewing 600 on a Saturday when my kids are home and my husband's home, I would probably not prefer to sit at the sewing machine while they go play outside. But at the same time, I think to myself, I think I am so grateful for these sales and I get to stay home all week with my kids. I get to be here when they come home from school. I get to do all these things that I couldn't do before when I was working outside the home, and just really trying to focus more on being overwhelmingly thankful for the sales as opposed to being burdened. And I try not to think about how many hours a week I work, because sometimes it brings me down. It makes me sad, and just sometimes work is just depressing that we have to work. But I try to really think about how grateful I am that I get to do what I love and I get to support my family with it.
That is a great attitude, Amy. I love that. So as we wrap things up today, we've learned so much from you. I really had no idea about deal sites and how that whole process worked. And I know a lot of our listeners will benefit from hearing about that and taking your advice there. But do you have either a funny or adorable mom moment that's happened recently?
Oh, I mean, like so many of you, I feel like my life is just full of funny moments. But my favorite mom moment wasn't that recently, but it's just my most favorite moment of all. But I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. And so 1 year for Thanksgiving, we had gone to Birmingham. We came back. So the week after Thanksgiving, we were just gotten back from Birmingham. And my son was in preschool at the time. And he came home and he was telling me how they were studying about the story of Mary and Joseph and the birth of Jesus at the preschool. And so we're talking about it. And I said, oh, yeah, what was your favorite part of the story? And he said, my favorite part of the story is that Mary got to ride on a donkey. And I said, yeah, that is pretty cool that she rode on a donkey. And I said, where did she go? He said, she went all the way to Birmingham. And even to this day, every time my kids tell the Christmas story, inevitably one of them will say Birmingham instead of Bethlehem.
That's too funny.
Amy, could you tell everybody where they can find you online if they're interested in purchasing a lip balm holder?
Sure. My Etsy site is gabrielsgoodtidings.etsy.com, of course. My favorite social media is Instagram, and I'm at Gabriel's Good Tidings there. I'm also on Facebook under Gabriel's Good Tidings and Twitter under Gabriel's Good TID. Tidings wouldn't fit. So we're just Gabriel's Good Tide there. And, of course, you can email me at gabrielsgoodtidings@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun and we learned a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast today. We hope that you walked away with some new information that you can apply to your business. And don't forget the coupon code that Amy generously provided to Brilliant Business Moms listeners. On her Etsy shop, Gabriel's Good Tidings, you can use the coupon code BrilliantBizMom, Biz with a Z, to save 50% in her shop. We hope you have a fantastic day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.